Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
Hey, we've got Pastor Brian with us today. He's got a message for us. And he's already told me it's a good one. Yeah, so he's excited. So, no, he didn't actually say that. He's a very humble guy. But I bet it is. So come on up here, Brian. We're going to turn it over to you. And you've got your headset?
Yes.
So you don't need this.
No.
All right, I'm going to move it over a little bit.
Move it over, ooh, move it over, ooh. I feel like moving on. The guys at work, they give me a hard time because we can say anything in the engine, you know, and 9 times out of 10 I can make a song up out of whatever they say, and they just laugh and joke, say that I should have been a folk singer. I told Cindy that, and she's like, yeah, they probably don't want to hear the words and things that you're writing about, so leave that one alone, Brian. I was trying to think of anything interesting that's going on at work this week, but I've only been back a couple of days, so, yeah, it's back to the norm. What goes on in the truck stays in the truck. That's what we say at work. You know, yeah, Vegas rule in the truck or the engine. We have a truck company, and engine company is what I'm on. That's the regular fire truck. Truck company has a big ladder on top of it. Well, we always kid the truck company because the wheels on the truck go. No, they don't go nowhere. They have to pull it around the station just to get the flat spot out of it. When I first came to the shift, we have calls that we leave as a double company. And sometimes they're emergency calls, sometimes not. But we always beat them out. We could be out of the station and on the street before they're even starting up their truck. So, man, we rode them pretty hard about that. So now it's become a foot race to the point to where when I go get in my gear, I take a quick look because it's right there and see where their officer is at. And if he's close, I just throw my coat on and get in. I don't even buckle up, nothing. I'm just getting in the engine, so now we can get out of there. So we still beat them. So. Where are we going with this? I have no idea. Being ready. Yes. Hey, that's real. The segue's right in. I was thinking about what to talk about today and the title of it, and the only thing I could come up with was being ready. And according to 1 Peter 5 and 8, and this is the New American Standard, it says, be of sober spirit. Be on alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. We all know that. Most of us in here are old enough to realize that stuff, and we've heard it many a times. A little thing that you may not know. I've been in the fire service 38 years. March will be 39. So I've seen a lot in my career. You would think by now after 30 years, you would think after a few less years than that, but especially after 38 years that I'd have it down. But every day I go to work and I train with these new kids, I realize just how much I don't know. A lot of things that I did as a younger guy, they're doing today with different techniques, better techniques, and so they're teaching the old dog new tricks. So a lot of times when I'm the old dog. A lot of times when we go out and do training like forcible entry, say, yeah, I know how to force a door. I know how to tear up stuff with the best of them. I usually just kind of stand back and say, why don't you show me what you know first? You know, I want to make sure you got it down before I show you how to do it. And that's just the technique to let them show me really how the new techniques are. You know. Back in my day, you know, you'd come up to a door that's locked. You just take a sledgehammer and just lock it out, right? Or an axe, tear it up. Well, now we got different tools or same tools, but they use them differently, and they can tear up stuff a little bit better than we could in the old days. So, yeah, I just kind of stand back and let them show me how to do it. That way I don't look really stupid when I get up there. I just want to tell you real quick, and this will set the foundation for what I want to talk about today. A normal shift for me, normal would be like if nothing ever happened, this is typically what we would do. I get there about 5:30 in the morning. I set my stuff in the day room, and then I go out and I get my gear, and I put it beside the truck. I go in, the lieutenant that's on duty, him and I talk about what's going on, and I look and see what's going on for the day, and then I go out to the engine. This is where it really starts. I go out to the engine. He's got his stuff off now. So I put my boots right beside the door. I take my radio and my extra gloves out, set them. Radio's here. My extra gloves are here. I put my helmet right in front of me. I take my mask out of its bag and put my mask right there. And then as an old guy, I make sure that I have my glasses, my reading glasses. And I'll put my rubber gloves or my gloves for EMS calls. Then I put my M95 mask now. And then I put my glasses right on top of those. So now I've got my gear ready to go, right? So then and my whole, my coat's hanging on the door or the handle by the door. That way when we make the call, I have to just run out there, take my shoes off, jump my boots. I've got my hood that I have to put on second. My hood's on my coat, so I can't put my coat on without taking my hood out, put my hood on, slip into my coat, I jump in. Then my helmet's here, my mask is here, and then after I got my gear set up, right next to my mask is my thermal imager. So once I get my gear set out, I always pick up that thermal imager and turn it on, making sure that the battery is good, because most of us leave it there anyway. If it's not good battery, then we'll put it in the charger. So check my thermal, make sure it's on the right setting. I make sure that the battery's good. I'll swoop it around a little bit, make sure it works. Turn it off, set it down. And then in the seat, built into the seat of all our apparatus is an air pack, which is the bottle that you see on our back. I always pull it out, turn it on, make sure I have enough air in the bottle that's supposed to be there. Then I'll turn it on. And our regulators, there's two different ways you can get air from your regulator. One is when you draw that first breath of air, it opens it up. And then there's also a red valve as an emergency bypass. So when I turn it on, I'm checking to make sure that, one, it's charged, make sure that the reading on the gauge that's right here is right. Then also make sure there's no air coming out of that regulator so that when it comes time to turn it on for real, I'm not scrambling to try to turn it off. So then once it's there, I turn it off, I bleed the air down. And on the pass device, it has the gauge that says how much air is in there. And then once you reach a certain level, minimal level, it starts dinging at you. So I bleed it down slow to that point. Once it starts dinging, I just go ahead and open it up all the way and let it bleed off all the air. Put the air pack back in its bracket, but on the same side over here where my pressure gauge is at, my pass device is there. And I let it set. We have these things built into the air packs so that if you sit still long enough, you'll start hearing a chirp start slowly going off. If you don't do anything, then it'll keep going. And eventually it's going to go into alert. And it's a noise I can't replicate. But it tells everybody on the fire ground that, hey, somebody is not moving for whatever reason. And if you get trapped or you get lost, you know, one thing you can do is just sit still. And that thing will go off. And now everybody knows it's going off, and we kind of hone into that spot. If you get in trouble and you're not wanting to sit still, there's also a button on the side of it. So once I hear that thing go off, I reset it. And then also there's a red button on top that if I get in trouble, I can just push that, and it starts alarming as well. So I check that. It's ear-piercing, so you don't listen to it very long. Turn it off. Put my air pack back in the bracket. I put my shoulder harnesses over the seats so that when I get in the apparatus, all I have to do is reach around, get it. My bottom strap's over here and my other strap's here. So I can just take and buckle them up. And then I put my seatbelt on. Well, you're supposed to put your seatbelt on first. But when we're in that racing mode or when you know the call is really, really close, we kind of violate the seatbelt rule. We're just getting ourselves ready to get off that truck as fast as we can. I digress. Anyway, I've got my cab is set up. I've got my gear where I want it. I've checked all the equipment in my cab. Climb down out of the apparatus. I go straight back to the dog walk. And in a compartment right there, we have some other tools. But I recently moved a tool from the back of the engine to this compartment, and it's called the New York hook. It's just a big, long metal pole with some hooks on the end of it. And you can tear up a lot of good stuff with that. So I open it up. Make sure my New York hook is there, because every time I make a call, fire alarm call, well, not EMS calls, but every time I make a fire call, I always get out of the engine, I go get my New York hook, And that's my tool that I carry with me wherever I go. Firefighters have their tools that they carry as well. So even on fire alarms, when we know it's nothing, they've canceled us because somebody's done something stupid, we always get out of the engine, we get our tools, and we go to the door with everything we have. The ideal is, if we do this every time when we're not under stress, that when it comes time to be stressful, with second nature, boom, 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 go. So for me, the tool is my tool. So once I have done my little part, the firefighters have checked their little parts, we'll pull the engine around back, and then as a crew, we go over that truck. We open each compartment. We make sure that all the tools are where they're supposed to be. The saws have fuel. Once a week, we start them, but every day we make sure they have fuel, make sure everything's right. The engineer, the guy that's driving, he will pump the truck. He'll get it going, make sure the pump's working, and we'll check our hose lines to make sure they're where they're laid, make sure the nozzles are where they're supposed to be, and then pull it in and close it up. We've got our equipment ready. We know that if a call comes out right now, we're ready to go. Then, C-Shift Station 1, we all congregate in the back, and then we do our morning PT. We'll all do some physical training together. A lot of it's geared towards what we may be doing in the fire ground. A lot of it's not, but it's strenuous PT work. So once we got our physical conditioning stuff in, we usually go take a shower. Or if we're going to do some hands-on training for the day, then we stop. The two things that we do most every day, except for Sundays, is we'll get an hour of fire training and we get an hour of EMS training. So if we're doing our fire training right off, we'll just stay in our shorts and then we'll do some sort of fire department or fire-related training. And then we go get cleaned up. Usually in the afternoons after we have our lunch and nap, the stuff that we do, we'll do some EMS training inside. A lot of times we'll just do a hands-on, like a, we got this big old heavy mannequin, we'll throw him on the cot and we'll talk our way through doing whatever we're doing for that day. In addition to the training that we all do together, we all eat together. Whether you bought in for food or not, or whether you're bringing in food, we all sit down at lunchtime and we eat together. And we don't even start until everybody's there. Once everybody's there, usually Nick, he'll do it. We all take our hats off, and it's a little bust flip. Jeez, that man, it's that quick. If you're not paying attention, you won't know what he's saying. But we pray, then we eat. We do our thing. Supper time is the same way. We all get together. We all eat together. A lot of times we'll have a discussion that we want to, whatever we might want to talk about for the day, either department-wide or fire department-wise or whatever. But we all eat together. And then in addition to that, a lot of times these guys will just kind of hang out outside, sitting on the ground, just talking. If there's something on the TV, you know, we kind of hang out in the TV room for a while. I do that until about 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock, they know where BT's at. They know BT's in his room, and the lights are off. So we can play until 8 o'clock, and then after that, it's officer-controlled free time. So we do all that. So one, that we're ready to make a call. And two, we've built a team. And you got to realize that for the most part, I'll spend a third of my life with those guys at that station. And there's a lot of times that I might see those guys and interact with those guys a lot more than I will with Cindy. Because I'm with them for, 13 hours, because we sleep part of that. So 13 hours I'm with those guys. I might see Cindy a couple, 3 hours at the nighttime, right? She gets home from work, so we go to bed. So a lot of times I'll spend more time with them than I will with anyone else in the world. So because of that, we've built trust with one another. We've trained together. We've eaten together. So we all know our weaknesses and our strengths. We all know about each other's families. We know what buttons to push when we want to really get someone. So we're a family. And we can rely on one another. And we know that when the time comes for the real deal, that you've got my back and I've got your back. There's absolutely no doubt about that. And we may have conflict like any other family does. But when it comes time for the real deal, all that conflict goes out the window. And we just work well with one another as a team. So, and as a team, I don't have to worry about what Jimmy's doing as a driver. Because Jimmy's the driver and I've seen him do it. I don't have to worry about the three firefighters that I have because I've seen them. I know what they do. A lot of times they say, what do you want, BT? Just pull the line to the front door. That's it. Or if I don't even tell them nothing and something's on fire, they know they're going to have a line, so they just do it. So we all work like that. So you're going to ask yourself, okay, how in the Sam Hill does that work with us? Well, given the audience that we have here, I don't know what's on the line, but for the people here, you're all Christian veterans. Wouldn't you agree? Most of you would say, yeah, I've been a Christian for a lot longer than 38 years. You're veteran Christians. Does that mean as a veteran Christian that you shouldn't have to train anymore? I've been a Christian for 50 years, Brian. Okay, well, that's good. That's great. But does that mean you can quit preparing yourself to be a Christian? No. Just because we're a veteran Christian or a veteran in anything doesn't mean that you don't continually work. So this is how I put it in with us. So we need to get our gear on, right? I think all of you know where we're going with the gear. According to Ephesians 6, 13 through 17, therefore put on the full armor of God so that Therefore put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, it's not in my notes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand. Next. Stand firm then with the belt of truth. The belt of truth is really the foundation. If you don't have truth to stand on, then everything else is just there. So truth, I think it's pretty important that we get the first part right. The belt of truth. Belt of truth buckled around your waist with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes with the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And when I read that, not yet, when I read that, I think about the sword of the Spirit, right? I think about me getting off and I got my New York hook that can do some really good damage. That's our shield or our sword, right? You can go forth with that thing. That's an offensive weapon to go cut them down, right? So once we've got all our gear in place, now we're ready to leave. We're ready to leave for the day. And I think about this. I think, you know, most mornings when I get out of bed, I kind of turn around, put my feet down, and I think, Lord, you know, go with me today. Everything I do, let it be what you'd want it to do. I don't always say this, but I should. Lord, let me put on the belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, Lord. Let me get the gospel of peace on my feet, put that helmet of salvation on my head, you know. Help me, Lord, to be ready to go so that when I take those first few steps of the day, at least I'm equipped and ready to go for the day. So are we ready yet to go? Not quite. There's something else we need to do. In Ephesians 6 and 18, most people thought I was going to leave that one out, but I didn't. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. So we want to get ourselves trained and ready to go. Now we're ready to go. We've got all our gear on, and we've communicated right off the bat with the Lord, praying with Him, right? Because that's really what prayer is, right? Talking to God and getting ourselves in that right relationship. And I think it's important, just as in the fire service, you got to think every day of the year, that truck gets checked the same way, every day. Some people may be more thorough than others, but they all get checked. How often do we check the oil in our cars? How often do we start our cars and turn the lights on to make sure everything's working? Yeah, I know. But every day that fire truck gets turned on, all the fluids get checked, the lights get checked, we make sure that everything is ready to go. So in the same sense, we should be ready to go with all of our equipment and with already speaking with the Lord before we take those first steps out of the house. Another way we can keep preparing ourselves and training is spending time in the Word. Right? Can we ever know enough? No, I know I can't. And it's like, you know, I'll read it. And when I was telling a young man the other day that when I studied for the officer's position and driver's position as well, I'd get, you know, they give you like 6 or 8 books to have to read. So I'd go through these books and I would read it critically, highlight what I thought was important. And then from there on out, I wouldn't read nothing but what was highlighted. So when I was reading my word, I'm reading it and I'm highlighting, okay, what is this saying to me? And I'll highlight it. And then inevitably, I'll come back to that same passage sometime later, and I'll look at it and read it, and I'll see my highlight, but I'll keep on reading. Oh, okay, well, this is important too. And now I'm highlighting something that's different. And if you keep doing that, eventually the whole book will be highlighted, right? But the Word is one of those things that we have to look at every day. We need to stay in that Word. And that's a training our heart. It's training our minds. How would we know what truth is? If we're going to put the buckle of truth around us, how would we know what the truth is without studying the Word? Because the Word is where the truth comes from. And unlike the fire service where techniques can change, the Word never changes. So what you're studying is the same study material that's been studied for a long time now. And it can't be overstudied. The next thing we can do, just like at the firehouse, we eat with one another. We spend time with one another. We train together, both physically fit training together. And it's kind of fun sometimes to see people do exercises. They probably get a real kick out of me doing some of those exercises. But one of the guys that's on the shift, he's a little bit bigger guy, a little bit slower. He's always the last one to get done. But I guarantee you, he does everything that we're supposed to do. If we're supposed to do 15 of everything, he does 15 of everything. If we're supposed to run 2 miles, he runs 2 miles. But he's always the last. And it's really inspiring to me when we first get into this, KJ would be kind of like there, and his driver would go with him. His driver stayed with him the whole way. And as time goes on, now most of the shift will stay with him until he is done. So it's like we're not leaving him behind. We know who he is. We know what he does. So we will be with him the whole way. And that's important in building relationships with one another. I would think that it would tell me if those guys were willing to stand with me when I'm struggling, then I should be willing, more than willing, to stand with them when they're struggling. So that leads me to the next point. It's like spend time with other Christians. Spend time with the right people. If you're constantly in a group of people that aren't Christians, before too long, some of that stuff's just going to kind of stick to you. And your mind might change because that's all you hear is that thing. But you need to spend time with the right people. And in addition to the right people, you need to spend time with the Lord. More importantly, you need to spend time with the Lord in prayer, building a relationship with the Father. Building a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Building that relationship. That's the number one relationship. But building relationships with fellow Christians. I know that when my boys were having some issues, there were other parents in the church that we got together. And it was comforting to me to hear these other people calling out my son's names before the Lord. So then in turn, we're praying for their children. So as mothers and fathers of these boys and girls, we would meet once a week, I believe it was, and we would pray for each other's children. So not only did that build a relationship knowing that they care about my kids, they know I care about their kids, and there was a special bond between that group of parents. And just like it is at church, you know, people say that, well, I like to watch the TV, you know, I like to hear the guys on the TV speak, and that's where I get my church. Well, you know, I'm not gonna knock, you know, watching TV and listening to preachers preach and different stuff like that. But that's not the same as fellowshipping with one another. Hebrews 10:25, better read it up here. Did I skip one? No, I didn't. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, That's important, that we not give up meeting together. And as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So it's extremely important that he's saying, hey, we need fellowship with other Christians. And what's really cool about fellowshipping with other people, especially Christians, we realize, you know what, I'm not the only one that's struggling with that issue. Other people are struggling with that issue, you know. How better to minister to someone when you may be going through the same battle or you've gone through that same battle, to give them that encouragement and to speak life into them and encourage one another. And then Proverbs 27:17, I think I can get this one right. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. So we can help one another. We can build with one another. We build that relationship that, hey, if I see a brother or a sister struggling, or if my brother or sister says, pray for me, then I know that that guy is going to pray for me, or that lady is going to pray for me. And it's really good for me to hear people talk about, hey, I've been praying for your boys. As a parent, man, that's pretty awesome. And I know that someone's praying for my kids, you know. So we can help one another in that aspect. So we can't neglect hanging out with the right people and hanging out with the Lord. So the best part is here, the conclusion. So just like in the fire service, we get ready, right? We get ready to make calls. As Christians, we can get ready by putting on the full armor of God, getting that right relationship right off the bat with the Lord. Then we get trained. We go read that word. We spend time with the Lord, and the Lord will reveal things to us through prayer. The Holy Spirit will help us, right? So we train with one another, or we train, and then we read and study our Bibles. And then finally, we hang out with the right people. We hang out with one another at work because we've built that relationship. I know most everything about those boys. They know most everything about me. And just like that at church, we learn about each other. We learn each other's faults. It's inevitable. And we learn each other's strength. And we know who to come to when we need prayer and who really not to go to when we need prayer. Does that make sense? But we can build relationships with one another. So those are the ways that we can build ourselves up and be ready for when the enemy comes. And we all know the enemy's coming. It's pretty easy to see with the turmoil going on in our world today, just in our own state and our own country, that we need to be more prepared today as Christians than ever before, because the enemy will want to do everything to degrade and take away anything that has to do with God. And as Christians, we have to say no, because this is what the Word says. Though you may slay me, I will not move from this point, because this is the truth. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, Pastor Steve, for the opportunity to speak today.